Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man who is going down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
I consider myself extremely lucky to be here in America. Actually, it isn't really luck. It's through my parents' foresight, wisdom, and the great risk they took. See, I was born in and spent the first 14 years of my life in Alexandria, Egypt. It was a great childhood, and my life was good. But when my parents took a look into the horizon, they wanted a better future for my brother and I. So we began our immigration journey, which led us here to Glastonbury and led me to my wife, our kids, and 2 little angel grandsons. People ask me, you know, is it hard moving here, coming to a new country? And you know, really it wasn't, because we were going to America, something that millions dream about. And so more than lucky, I really feel blessed to be here. Now, that's not to say there weren't difficult times. And I'll give you a couple of examples. We arrived at JFK in New York on January 31st of 1971, and right away enrolled in high school, so it was the middle of the school year. And in April or May of that year, there was a freshman dance at our school, and my parents insisted that I go because they wanted us to get, you know, fully acclimated with everything. So I put on my nice new light blue double-breasted suit and tie, and was dropped off at the dance at the cafeteria. Now, for those of us that can remember or think that far back, what kids wore to high school dances. So I ran around the corner, ripped off my tie and jacket, and stuffed them under the shrubs, and walked into the dance, but I was still pretty overdressed. So. Another special memory was the first time I slept over my friend Dave's house. I was on the swim team, and Dave and I became good friends. And one time he asked me if I wanted to go sleep over his house on a Friday night, because the next morning he was going to teach me to ice skate. And he said, you know, come over around 6 o'clock, we'll have dinner and, you know, hang out. So I did. And in Egypt, the tradition is when you're a guest at someone's house and you sit down at the table, you know, they offer you food and you have to say, no, no, thank you. And they insist, no, you must eat. And you say, no, thank you. And then eventually everything gets worked out. And you sit down and you eat, you know. So this being my first time at Dave's house, I was really determined to make a good impression. So we sit down at the table, and his mom had a delicious looking meal. She offered me, she said, here, have some. And I said, no. And she had this disappointed look on her face, and she said, okay. I was pretty hungry that night, and I didn't make that mistake again, because at breakfast it was a different story. So these were great lessons, you know, that we learned, and I shared with my family. And really, you know, after my brother, especially after he stopped laughing, he appreciated that because he did not make that mistake. But, you know, these experiences bring families closer together. We all have each other's back. Kids learn from parents, and parents learn from kids. And this brings me to what led us here to First Church. So I was born Coptic Orthodox Christian. And then when we moved to the United States, we joined an Episcopal church and we became Episcopalians. Our two other children were born Catholic, but I initially remained Episcopalian because religion is very important to me. If I was going to convert to Catholicism, I wanted to do it because it was the right spiritual decision and the right thing for me. So after about a year-long process, I converted to Catholicism, and it was really a great period in my spiritual life. I developed a deeper understanding of Catholicism and the theology behind the church's position and practices. The process both deepened my faith and opened new spiritual paths for me. Kim and I were married at First Church of Christ in Old Wethersfield, where she belonged. We had several discussions with Don Morgan, the senior pastor there, before we got married. And when discussing our faith denominations, he likened Christianity to the Atlantic Ocean. And he would say, you know, whether you go to the shore in Maine or in Florida, they look very different, but it's really the same Atlantic Ocean. So even though Catholics and Congregationalists have different beliefs and ways of worship, we all worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Fast forward to 2009, when Hannah was 12. She just was not going to go to First Church in Old Wethersfield because none of her friends went there. So we really did not want this to be forced on her, or, you know, something that she did not welcome. So we looked for other options. And Hannah's friends went here. In fact, I see a couple of them. There's Abby right there, and I think I see Morgan here off somewhere. There she is. So they're the two of the culprits. I was going to ask you to stand, but I... So here we are at First Church, and, you know, Kim and I loved it here from the start, and Hannah became a member right away. But it took Kim and I a little bit longer. And as Hannah became more involved and went on mission trips and participated in all of the other wonderful programs that are run here, we began to become more involved. And for me, I needed to go through a similar process as when I was considering converting to Catholicism. I went on a couple of adult mission trips, and they really had a profound impact on me. And I also loved hearing what we heard from David at the beginning today, that the welcoming message, you know, that all are welcome, and that no matter a person's faith, lifestyle, or whatever their situation is, they're welcome here. So as has happened when I was converting on Catholicism, becoming a member here at First Church both deepened my faith and opened new spiritual paths for me. So once again, we learned and are learning from our kids. Now, as you may know, Kim and I are members of a committee here at First Church that is preparing to receive a refugee family. While we don't know the family yet, we know that they will be from Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, or South Sudan. We know that their journey here to America originated out of trauma and tragedies that none of us can imagine. They're certainly not in any way fortunate like I was when I came here. But my hope is that in the years to come, they will look back and feel as blessed as I do. Our goal is to give the family the best possible start in their new life. We've been learning a lot and preparing for a while now, and I'd like to share some of the key learnings that we as the committee have learned. The first is respect is essential. You know, refugees have been through a lot. In most cases, they fled countries where there was little respect for their human rights. Their homes have been bombed. They've either lost or have no idea where their loved ones are. Their friends, careers, homeland, and everything that was familiar to them are gone. Many experience insults, humiliation, and unimaginable cruelty. We have to respect them as our equals and value their life experiences and talents. One of our most important jobs in refugee resettlement is to help refugees regain their confidence and a sense of control over their lives. We do this by treating them with respect. And this is especially poignant for me today on Father's Day. My dad was 50 when we moved here to the US, and when we were in Egypt, he worked for a cotton exporting company, and he'd really worked his way through the corporate structure and had achieved a pretty high level position despite being a Christian. But when we came here, he accepted an entry level position at the Travelers, but he worked hard and worked his way through into management and really had a great career in a very short period of time. But the amazing thing about my dad is he was not physically a large man. I think he was maybe 5'5 or so, but he commanded respect and he respected everyone. You know, I'll never forget how strongly he felt, and if someone was disrespectful to him, it was pretty hard for that person to regain my dad's confidence. And I can also say that about my mom, who's here with us today. So. The second lesson is, going outside your comfort zone. We have to be willing and be okay with going outside of our comfort zone. The family's cultural, religious, social fiber will be very, very different from ours. They may have family members with special needs. Communication will most likely be a challenge. Hopefully they will speak English or have some knowledge of the English language, but that may not be. So we have to anticipate and embrace the challenges and know that when all is said and done, we will have broadened our horizons and become more resilient as a result of the experience. And the third is refugee resettlement is rewarding, but it's messy. We've learned that, and they really stressed that at the organization where we did the training. We're often reminded ourselves during the committee that messy will happen, whether it's around obtaining social security numbers, driver's licenses, enrolling the kids in school, or even something unexpected happening to one of us. Things will not go as expected. But we have a great committee. Under Rosemary Richter and John Dugan's leadership, we're like a well-oiled machine. We have great chemistry within the group, and would welcome any others that would like to join us. So finally, I want to circle back to what I started with. This great journey that led my family and I here to Glastonbury and First Church. See, when Kim and I first signed up for the Refugee Committee, we were considering all of the different components that needed to be addressed, like employment, housing, finances, education, etc. But one critical thought popped in my head, and I felt very strongly about. I shared with the group that we really have to try and get the family here in the summer. And I can still see the puzzled look on some of their faces. And finally, someone asked me why. So I had to share with them my high school first dance story and tell them that if that family had high school or middle school age children, that I really wanted to help them avoid the trauma of the light blue double-breasted suit.